brothers and sisters.
I think today is very memorable. It's my first time preaching after my son was delivered. Also, it's my first time preaching here. Praise the Lord, he is good. I ask you to turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, you can see the practice in your bulletin, or you can use your own Bible. Genesis 17. From the end of 11 Genesis, we see the story of Abraham. Abraham's story is famous, is familiar with us. But also, I want to encourage you to remember how God developed his salvation plan, how God called people to worship him, how God made a covenant with his people, so that we have a covenantal relationship with our God. Therefore, I ask you to pay your attention, give your ear to the word of God. I ask you to give your heart to love the word of God and give your mind to think this is the word of God, which is holy, inspired, and authoritative. Therefore, pay attention to the word of God. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 14. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell down his face and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you and the father of multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and the kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner, who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant, and the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. This is the word of God. Let's pray, ask God bless our hearing and preaching his word. Gracious Father, we praise you. We come to your presence with thanksgiving because you give us your word. because you made a covenant with us. We praise you this morning when we gather together. We want to hear the gospel. We want to hear your son's gospel. We want to hear what you did for your people, for your church. We ask you bless our hearing and the preaching of word. We ask your Holy Spirit works in our congregation so that we can understand this is the truth. This is what we need. This is your word. This is your works. We praise you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living many relationships. Family relationship, parents and a child. Working relationship, you and your co-workers, you and your supervisors. Or school relationship, I'm very familiar with this relationship, me and my professors. Do you satisfy these relationships? These relationships in your life? These earthly relationships sometimes bless us, sometimes not, even harm us. However, no matter how do you interact with these earthly relationships, you as a Christian, let me direct your attention to a heavenly, eternal relationship, which is a covenantal relationship between you and our God. What's the uniqueness of this covenantal relationship? From a secular perspective, Christianity is nothing but one of the religions in this world. But we know our God, He is only true God. Our God, He is Almighty. He is our God. In other religions, supply and demand relationships exist in an abstract and transient way. By contrast, the scripture tells us our God approaches us with a covenantal relationship which is conquered and eternal. This covenantal relationship can secure you, can rest you, can comfort you. Also, you can find the meaning of your life in this eternal covenantal relationship. Because the covenant tells us our Lord, the Creator and the Creator of heaven, the earth, is our Lord. And we are His people. We are responsible for this covenant relationship. When we walk through today's passage, Genesis 17, God made a covenant with Abraham, who is the faith of Father. Not only He made a covenant with him, He also given him circumcision as a sign. God asked Abraham to obey this covenant, to obey him. This is a covenantal relationship. We know He is our God, and we know we should be responsible for Him. We should obey Him. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you are Christian. I ask you, I encourage you to rest on this eternal covenantal relationship. Rest on this eternal covenantal relationship with two reasons or with two ways. The first is rest on this covenantal relationship by meditating the covenant maker. You should think about, you should consider who made this covenant with you. A little example, if you work in a company, Apple or Amazon has a contract with you. You feel security because they are big companies. Also, you should consider who made this covenant with you. Meditating the covenant maker. Another thing is rest on this covenantal relationship by loving the covenant keeper. Because in this covenant, we have responsibility, but we cannot hold, we cannot keep this responsibility. Our Lord Jesus, He perfectly keep this covenant for us so that we can say we have confidence come to the throne of grace. We have confidence we will never be cut off from this covenant. Therefore, meditating the covenant maker and the loving, obeying the covenant keeper. Let's see verse 1 through verse 8. In verse 1, Moses told us Abraham was 99 years old. God appeared to him. This is not the first time God appeared to Abraham. We see the story of Abraham, chapter 12. God appeared to him and said to him. This is chapter 12. Chapter 13, verse 4, Moses told us, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him. After that, chapter 15, verse 1, Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. After that, we see chapter 17, verse 1, today's passage again. God appeared to Abraham when he was 99 years old. What do you think that? What then mean God again and again speaks and appeared to Abraham? God never forgets his people. God never forgets his covenant. In today's passage, in fact, from verse 2 through verse 14, only one verse, verse 3, then Abraham fell on his face. Only verse 3, Abraham was the subject. Other 12 verses, God as the subject, he say something to his people. He made a covenant to his people. He gave a promise to his people. God initially, actively say something to his people. The content of his word was about a covenant, was about a promise. God gave his people promise, the covenant made with Abraham and his descendants. Verse 2, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. God said again and again, he said, I will make the covenant between you and me. I will multiply you greatly. You shall be a father of a multitude, a father of a multitude of nations. This is the promise, this is the covenant God had given to Abraham. Also, he gave a promise to his descendants. He said, I will give you and your offspring the promised land. Verse 7, verse 8. Let me remind you, there is a great tension between the reality and the promise, because at that time, Abraham was childless. He was old. He 99 years old and his wife was old. There is a great tension between the reality and the promise. Therefore, this passage catches our attention. How God fulfilled his promise. How God made this covenant to be true. Therefore, this passage catches our attention. Let me remind you who is the original audience of this passage. The people of Israel. When Moses wrote the Pentateuch, when Moses wrote Genesis to them, they were going through the wilderness. When they were going through the wilderness, they saw so many people around them. They knew the promise of descendants was fulfilled because they are exactly the descendants of Abraham. They saw so many people around them, they know the promise of great nation was fulfilled. Therefore, they were encouraged when they see so many people around them. They know who is the one make the covenant with their father Abraham. The creator of the earth, of the heaven, made a covenant with their father. Not only God made a covenant, he also fulfill his covenant. When they think about this reality, they were encouraged. Now, the question is, what do you think? When you read this covenant, when you read this passage, maybe you are wondering, how can I relate to this covenant? Because clearly enough, this covenant was made with Abraham and his descendants. I'm not. Yes, we are not. But let me direct your attention to the New Testament we have read earlier, the Galatians chapter 3. In the New Testament, the Galatians chapter 3, Paul tells us, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, he said, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." Who are the sons of Abraham? Israel, they are the biological son of Abraham. But in the New Testament, Paul tells us, if you believe Christ Jesus, if you put your faith in him, you are the spiritual son of Abraham. You are the spiritual son of Abraham. If you continue, read chapter 3, verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offspring, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. Paul, not only he said, we are the sons of Abraham, he also mentioned God made a covenant with a singular descendant, because only in him, Paul know that, because only in Christ, we have a covenantal relationship with God. You can continue read chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Only in Christ you become the sons of Abraham. Therefore, when you are wondering how this covenant relates to me, let me tell you, when you put your faith in Christ Jesus, this covenant is related to you. This covenant is made for you. Therefore, in the first 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20, Paul says, "For all the promises of God found their yes in him, in Christ. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." Only in Christ we receive this covenant. We are involved in this covenant. Peter also mentioned, "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." This covenant was made over 1,000 years earlier. But now, because of Christ Jesus, this covenant was made for us. As I mentioned, when Israel went through the wilderness, when Israel went to the promised land, they were brought from Egypt. Now you are the spiritual son of Abraham. You know in Christ, God brought you into Christ, but God brought you out of this world. This is the reason why you are here. When your families, when your friends, Lord's Day, Sunday, maybe they have other things to do, but God called you to worship him. We are separated from this world. We are brought out of this world to worship Him. This is why we gather together. People of God should rest on this covenant maker because He is faithful. He's faithful for His covenant because He is almighty. He is powerful to bring us out of this world. The Creator initially, actively institute this covenant to you and to me. As I mentioned, you are in many relationships. Don't forget, you have a most important relationship, which is a relationship with God. When you disappoint other relationships, when you are harmed in many relationships, this relationship, covenantal relationship, is your comfort. Let me give you an example. Psalm 15:5. This is a song wrote from David. Psalm 15:5, verse 4. David said, "My heart is in anguish with me." Why? Why David's heart was anguish? Verse 12 tells us, "For it is not an enemy who taught me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my company, my familiar friend." The reason David's heart was anguished is he was betrayed by a very close friend. But he has hope because he knows he has a relationship, a covenantal relationship with God. Therefore, in verse 16, David said, "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me." This is his hope. 18, he said, "He redeemed my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me." 22, he said, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." This is an example when you are betrayed, when you feel sad in a relationship, the covenantal relationship can be your hope, can comfort you. This is also our Lord Jesus, He did. When Jesus went to the Jerusalem, the Gospel of Luke told us He set His face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what He will meet in Jerusalem. He will meet betrayed because the disciples followed Him almost 3 years. At the last moment, they betrayed Him. They depart from Him. But Jesus set His face to go to Jerusalem because He know He has a covenant with God, because He know He is the singular descendant of Abraham. He rests on this covenantal relationship. Therefore, from verse 1 through 8, we can see the covenantal promise has literally fulfilled in the history of Israel. Also for us, we can see this promise has been spiritually fulfilled in Christ. In Him, we are related to this covenant. We can rest on this unique and eternal covenant relationship. In every relationship, you are responsible for this relationship. When God made a covenant with His people, He also demands His people to obey this covenantal relationship. Let's see the second reason why we should rest on this covenantal relationship. Rest on the covenantal relationship by obeying the covenant maker. We will see verse 9 through 14. Verse 9 through 14, verse 9, God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations." This is about the obedience of covenant. Verse 11 tell us who shall be circumcised. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. Very important, verse 11 mentioned this sign, this circumcision, as a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and his offspring. Verse 12, he said, "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised," which means everyone who has relationship with Abraham, whether born to him or bought by him, they should be circumcised. This is a sign, very important. Sign itself is not important. Rather, the thing pointed out by the sign is important. This is what we should know, because the sign is between God and his people. The question is, we as a spiritual son of Abraham, do we need the circumcision? Do we need to be circumcised? Let me direct your attention to the New Testament again. In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, tell us, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision, made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Have been burned with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead." Therefore, in the New Testament, there is a parallel between the baptism and the circumcision. We were baptized into Christ, which means we received the circumcision of Christ. What's the meaning of circumcision of Christ? In the Old Testament, the circumcision leads to suffering and bloodshed in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the blood of circumcision becomes the blood of Christ. The suffering of circumcision becomes the suffering of Christ. Therefore, if you put your faith in Christ, you were baptized in him, you receive the circumcision of Christ, because he suffered, because he bleeding for you believers. Therefore, as a spiritual descendant of Abraham, with faith in Jesus Christ, we have the sign of the covenant. In him, we have the circumcision in Christ. Last week, when my son was in the hospital, the physician asked me, "Do you like your son to have a circumcision?" I say, "No." But this word circumcision reminds me, we have the circumcision in Christ Jesus. Why did Christ have to suffer and blood shed? Why did Christ have to suffer and bloodshed? When the Israel received the sign, received the circumcision as a sign, which means they have a new identity. They have manifested this identity by obeying the covenant, by obeying the law in the Canaan, in the promised land. But they failed to obey God's law. Therefore, in the Old Testament, we see many sacrificial animals, atonement for them. Therefore, we see in the Old Testament, they had a sacrificial atonement for their sin. We, as spiritual sons of God, we also sin against our Lord. But we need an ultimate sacrificial atonement, who is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Christ, His blood, His suffering become the ultimate suffering for us, become the ultimate sacrificial atonement for us. Not only did the blood of circumcision in Old Testament become the blood of Christ in New Testament, but the blood of circumcision becomes the ultimate blood of the Lamb of God. Neither the blood of circumcision nor the blood of sacrifice animals, but the blood of Christ saved us, keep us in this covenant. Therefore, Christ in the last night, Matthew chapter 26, 28, he said, "For this is my blood of covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Actually, if you read the New Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the circumcision in the flesh become the circumcision in the heart. What's the meaning of circumcision in the heart? In the Old Testament, God asked Israel to obey them, to obey Him, to love Him. This is the circumcision in the heart. Therefore, Christian, we have a circumcision of Christ, which means we need love God. We need to love His law. We need obey His law. This is why in Gospel of John, John tells us, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." If you love God, if you love Christ, you will obey His law, because you know He is our covenant keeper. He keeps the law for us. He paid the price for our sin. He is our substitutionary atonement. He is our covenant keeper. Back to the beginning, I mentioned you are living many relationships. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, hold fast this purity covenantal relationship. Therefore, we can find hope in other relationships. Because in covenantal relationship, He changed us. He transformed us. We can be transformed into Christ-like. Maybe sometimes we disappoint many relationships because of other things. We also know the covenant maker, He controlled the situation. Even this situation is bad. Therefore, we have this covenantal relationship. We should be joyful in this covenantal relationship because the covenant maker, He is faithful. Because the covenant keeper, He successfully keep this covenant for us. So that if we read the 14, "Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his forsake shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Now we can say, in Christ, we have this covenantal relationship. We will never be cut off this covenantal relationship. We will sing song 14/D. 14/D. We often use this song as our prayer. "God, preserve me. God, help me." Now we can say why we have this confidence. Say, "God will preserve me. God will help me." Because our covenant maker, who is faithful, because our covenant keeper, who is successful, keep the covenant for us. Our gracious God, we praise you because you made a covenant with us. In this covenant, we know who you are and we know what our Lord Jesus did for us. We give you thanks and we praise you. Preserve us from many bad relationships, from many sinful relationships, and help us to rest on this covenantal relationship. We praise you and we give you thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.